From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. We are excited to have comedian, actor, and now author Dennis Leary on our show. Now, he is known. Very exciting. He's known for his rough language, so we're actually, for the first time, using a tape delay this week. It was going to be the standard 7 seconds, then we read his book. So we've opted instead, just to be safe, for the 1 month tape delay. That's right, we were actually doing the show in early November. Hey, if anybody out there knows how the election turned out, don't tell us. We're still hoping Bob Barr pulls this thing out.
He still could.
So keeping that in mind, give us a call, the number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Leanne Weisenfeld calling from Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there?
I actually work in autism research at the University of North Carolina for the Carolina Institute for Developmental Disabilities.
Wow, that must be interesting and challenging work.
It is both of those, and I enjoy it very, very much.
And utterly out of bounds for me to make fun of, so thanks a lot for that.
Anything, yeah.
Welcome to the show, Leanne. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hello, Leanne.
Hi.
I respect you and your work.
Thank you very much.
Also say hello to a deputy editor and a blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Kiri.
And lastly, say hello to a television personality and the man responsible for MoRocca180.com, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Leanne. I'm too nervous to say anything else.
So am I. Great.
Leanne, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will read you 3 quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just 2 of them, you'll win the prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
All right.
All right. Here's your first quote.
I wonder if they're going to drive back.
That was Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama. He was talking about the witnesses appearing at a hearing in the Capitol this week who drove to Washington this time.
That would be the CEOs of the automakers in Detroit.
You're exactly right. Very good. The CEOs of Ford, Chrysler, GM, they got in trouble last time, you'll remember, because they each flew their own private jets to Washington to beg for billions of dollars in taxpayer money. They got the message. Each of them drove to D.C. this time. There was some confusion, though. For example, GM CEO Rick Wagoner, he was going 70 miles an hour in the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Suddenly he gets up, crawls into the back seat, looks for the first-class bathroom. They're like, no, sir. In addition, this is true. The CEOs, they all get paid tens of million dollars a year for running their companies into the ground. They all agreed, in exchange for a bailout, to reduce their salaries to $1 a year. But here's the beauty part. They're going to be able to keep options on millions of shares in their own companies, which means that their total compensation is actually closer to $3.
Wow.
Can I ask you?
So they pulled a fast one, is what I'm saying.
We let them, they drove here.
They drove to Washington from Detroit.
Okay, great. Now we have to bail out the private plane industry?
I thought it was a bad omen that the Ford guy showed up in a Pinto. If they really cared about saving money, they would have ballooned in.
That's true.
Or they would have hitchhiked, actually, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could have carpooled.
They could have carpooled. That's true.
Oh, that God. They never would have made it. Because they're CEOs. They're used to be each being able to pick the music. It's not going to happen.
I smell sitcom. It would be a great CNBC sitcom.
Yeah. And they break down outside a small town and have to learn about what America's really about.
Wow.
I just don't even want to know what music they wanted to listen to anyway.
This is true, by the way. In order to get the money.
mostly less expensive Japanese music.
What? Automobile karaoke. Yeah.
The sound of a Koto playing, but then like they have to roll down their windows and they put on some John Cougar Mellencamp. What?
All right, very good, Leanne. Your next quote is actually from this past spring. It's something we thought about this week because it was someone recounting a specific incident in their broad experience on the global stage.
I remember landing under sniper fire. We just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
For such courage under fire in pursuit of better foreign relations, that same person was selected this week to become Barack Obama's Secretary of State. Who?
That would be Hillary Clinton.
Yes! Now, Senator Clinton has traveled the world extensively, but just as First Lady for the most part. Now she's hoping that as a real senior administration official, she can fulfill her lifetime dream of actually getting shot at by our nation's enemy. This may explain the title of her first planned foreign policy address, quote, "You blind bastards couldn't hit the broadside of a barn," unquote.
The broadside of the barn tour, she's calling
exactly.
it, I believe,
yeah. It may not all be fun and games for you. Remember when Senator Clinton criticized Barack Obama during the campaign for his willingness to meet with foreign leaders like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad without preconditions?
Yes.
Well, guess is going to be spending 6 days and five nights on a fabulous all-expense-paid vacation in Tehran.
Go get me some preconditions, Hillary.
Exactly. Clinton will be leaving her cherished current job, senator from New York, a job she loved so much she's been desperately trying to get another one for almost 3 years. All right, Leanne, here's your last quote. We love this. It comes from a Hanukkah card that was sent out by the White House.
Please accept our apologies, as the invitation you previously received had the incorrect artwork on it.
Turns out that the first invitation to a White House Hanukkah party had a small error they needed to correct with a follow-up. The first Hanukkah card featured a picture of what?
I'll guess a Christmas tree.
You guessed so correctly. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bush White House is finishing its run with the same flair for competence it's shown throughout. The original invites to the White House Hanukkah party featured a horse-drawn cart bringing a Christmas tree to the White House. That is, of course, in my view, totally legit because, of course, as everyone knows, Hanukkah is the Jewish Christmas where we Jews celebrate the birth of the only Jewish son to actually meet his mother's expectations. Also, in White House Christmas party news, it looked for a while, seriously, that the White House Christmas tree would feature a custom-made ornament that celebrated in text around it the idea of impeaching President Bush. But it's not going to happen. Laura Bush put the kibosh on it. She explained to the president that no, Dick Cheney would not get a kick out of that.
You know, I've always been really down on Hanukkah, but in these economic times, you know, suddenly...
All of a sudden.
Suddenly a holiday based on fuel efficiency doesn't seem so bad, does it?
That's right.
Used to seem kind of scrubby next to the birth of the Messiah, but now...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. 8 days on one tank.
Make that oil last.
Carl, how did Leanne do in our quiz?
She had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Yay!
Well done.
Hanukkah, 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 Hanukkah. Everyone can celebrate Hanukkah. Celebrate the festival.